The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. Welcome into First Take. Thank you so much for being with us. It's Wednesday, so of course, Christopher Mad Dog Russo here with us. Great to have you, sir. Stephen A. down there in Miami getting set for the game, and we'll get into that in just a moment. But gentlemen, somewhere much more important to start right now, and that would be with the Warriors' Steve Kerr delivering an impassioned plea for gun control after a Texas school shooting before Game 4 of the West Finals, referring to the mass shooting that occurred at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas. Kerr's plea was one of many swift reactions across the sports world Tuesday to the news of an 18-year-old gunman opening fire at an elementary school in Texas, killing at least 19 children and two adults, as cited by a spokesman for the Texas Department of Public Safety. The suspect, a student at Uvalde High School who entered the elementary school with a handgun and possibly a rifle, is also dead, Texas Governor Greg Abbott said. It's hard for Steve Kerr to focus on a game right now, rightfully so.
In the last 10 days, we've had elderly black people killed in a supermarket in Buffalo. We've had Asian churchgoers killed in Southern California. And now we have children murdered at school. When are we going to do something? I'm tired. I'm so tired of getting up here and offering condolences to the devastated families that are out there. I'm so tired of the, I'm tired of the moments of silence. Enough. We can't get numb to this. We can't sit here and just read about it and go, well, let's have a moment of silence. Yeah, go Dubs, you know. Come on, Mavs, let's go. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go play a basketball game. You realize that 90% of Americans, regardless of political party, want background check, universal background check. 90% of us, we are being held hostage by 50 senators in Washington who refuse to even put it to a vote, despite what we, the American people, want. They won't vote on it because they want to hold on to their own power. It's pathetic. I've had enough.
Steve Kerr, of course, lost his father to gun violence. There was an outpouring of reaction across the sports world. LeBron James tweeted, "My thoughts and prayers goes out to the family of the loved ones lost, injured at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas. Like, when is enough enough? These are kids, and we are putting them in harm's way at school. Like, seriously, at school, where it's supposed to be the safest." Meanwhile, Celtics star Jason Tatum, "Breaks my heart hearing this news. No parent should ever have to lose their child. Praying for the families of those kids and the teacher. This is devastating." Here's more reaction from Steph Curry and Natasha Cloud of the Washington Mystics.
It's kind of hard to, you know, stay focused on going out and playing basketball and knowing, you know, what happened, you know, in this state. And I got kids, send them to school every day, drop them off. And you feel for the parents that are, you know, going through what they're going through. I can't even imagine the pain. So for Coach to come up here and say what he said, and every word that he said was powerful, was meaningful.
This game doesn't matter. The 18 lives and the number is going up by the minute. The 18 lives that were lost today from senseless gun violence in Texas at an elementary school. We're talking about our kids not being safe to go to school. And our government is still not implementing sensible gun laws. This isn't about taking people's rights away from bearing arms. This is about putting sensible gun laws in so this doesn't happen again. Please check on your loved ones. If you see crazy online, please send it to someone. Send it to the police. Send it to anybody. But if our government's not going to do our job, then we got to do our job and come together as a community, because this is absolutely ridiculous at this point.
Stephen A., I tweeted a picture of the faces of those little children, and it's just devastating. This is the 212th mass shooting in 2022. It's been widely reported. We're 144 days in, 27th school shooting. You heard LeBron say school should be a sanctuary, places of worship. We had senior citizens in Buffalo going to the grocery store. It's a crisis, and it should be a bipartisan issue. This is about human life. And when did it become so cheap? And I know you're sick to your stomach as well.
Without question. And it's pretty difficult to talk about sports today. We'll do it anyway as part of our job, and we'll do that later on. It's very, very difficult. I was listening to Keyshawn Johnson talking about not wanting his kids to go to the mall by themselves. I relate to what he's saying because I have two daughters, and I don't allow them to go to the mall by themselves. And teenagers, I'm not letting that happen because of the crazy world that we're living in. And that's something to be brought up. There's no question about it. Your heart goes out to the family and the loved ones of these kids. And then to watch the news and to see a little 8-year-old boy here, a little 10-year-old boy there. They said most of the kids who were killed were 10 years and younger. Actually, all of them, along with the two adults. So we're talking about children. And Doggy, I know you can relate to this because I remember listening to your show years ago when the tragedy took place at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Connecticut. On that particular day, 28 people were killed. Two more were injured. The shooter, Adam Lanza, if I remember correctly, he had murdered his mother prior to going to the elementary school and killing kids. And so this is not the first time we've seen this happen. We've seen shootings in Colorado. We've seen shootings in Florida. We've heard about all of these things. We've seen it. It's absolutely positively tragic. And I want to applaud the Steve Kerrs of the world, the Greg Popoviches of the world, the Steph Currys of the world, the LeBron James of the world, the Natasha Clouds of the world. And the list goes on and on of athletes and sports figures who want to bring attention to this issue. Let me crystallize it for us even more. It is important that we recognize that no one is engaging in hyperbole as they express themselves emotionally. When Steve Kerr calls out politicians, he's absolutely right. When Natasha Cloud calls out politicians, she's absolutely right. When we talk about the need for us to step up and step forward and do it ourselves if Capitol Hill ain't gonna do it, they're absolutely right because the time has come to call out these politicians. We elected these officials to go up on Capitol Hill and get things done. They're not getting it done. They're more petulant than we are. They're more petulant with one another than children are, for crying out loud. And I'm not joking about this. The fact of the matter is that we have a situation where November 8th of 2022, November 8th of this year, is coming up. And I made sure to have these notes now because I want to bring this up to the American people right now. There's a total of 469 seats in the United States Congress, all right? 34 Senate seats for all 435 House seats are up for election in November of 2008. The only issue, and it's really no issue that I took with Steve Kerr, what he said, because he was right on the money, I did not like the fact that he mentioned Mitch McConnell and stopped there. We have Democrats that take up 50 seats. We have two independents that caucus with the Democrats. That's 52 seats, essentially, in the Senate. We have a Democrat in the White House. We have Democrats in the House in the House of Congress as a majority. I believe it's like 221-8 with 6 seats available. Why can't you get stuff done? We hear that people are working on a bipartisan level, but somehow, some way, stuff still doesn't get done. It's really, really time to hold these politicians accountable because the level of petulance that they engage in is what's stalling our level of productivity as it pertains to getting things done. If you, Doggy, are going to sit around, okay, you're an elected official. And, okay, we want to pass this bill for gun control, okay? But then you tried to slide something in there about infrastructure or whatever it is that has absolutely nothing to do with gun control. And somebody on the opposite side says we disagree with that, so we're not going to sign a bill. But then you go on national TV and misrepresent their positions by saying, hey, excuse me, they wouldn't vote for this bill. All of a sudden, you're lying to them. You create a divide. As a result, negotiations stall. Nobody wants to get anything done, and then ultimately nothing gets done. If you're going to sit in somebody's face and talk about them like trash the minute the cameras start rolling, how are you able to then go behind the scenes and get something done when your priority is saving face and looking good so you can maintain your seat in that elected office instead of actually going there to get things done? That is what politics in the nation's capital has regressed to. And so I close by saying that's where the problem really, really lies. They're not putting they're not the ones who actually shot and killed people. We understand that. But we also know there are laws in this land that could be implemented. There are laws on this land, in this land, that could be enforced, that should be followed, that we have not put forth our level of due diligence necessary to make sure that we're living in a safe and civilized society. Mayhem continues to be put on display, and the leaders that we rely upon to do something about us have sold us out just so they can maintain office. So if I'm Steve Kerr or anyone else, what I say is don't name just one name. And don't name just one side. It's every single one of them. They have sold out America because they don't get things done. It's that simple.
Well, let me say a couple things here right out of the gate. Number one, something is wrong with the United States of America when an 18-year-old kid on his birthday goes out there and buys two assault weapons, rifles. In May, this kid, 18 years old, can't have a drink in Texas. Would you allow your kid, if he came home at 18, hey, Ma, look what I got for my birthday, I bought two assault rifles. You'd go crazy. He didn't have that parental supervision. Nobody checked. Nobody did anything. So Kerr's 1,000% right. Secondly, all the folks who make a big deal, this is about mental illness. Well, how come this doesn't happen in Britain? I was in Ireland. There's no mental illness in Ireland? France, Spain, Germany, Italy. You don't see this happening in those countries because the gun availability is not there. You are not a 15-year-old kid at a boarding school in Britain who can walk into a gun shop and buy 330 magazines and 5 assault weapons. You can in the United States. And although Biden, the president, he says all he wants, do something, Obama did after Sandy Hook. He did everything he could. Nobody followed suit. And although I try to play it right down the middle, I vote both Republican and Democrat. I vote for the best man all the time. In the history of my, since 1980, vote for the best man. Bottom line is, in this particular situation, Kerr's right. It's about the Republicans in that Senate who are wrapped up with the NRA and all the gun lobbyists and everything else who are afraid. There's 310 million guns in America for 300 million people. Who are afraid that if they get tough here, that somehow they're going to get knocked out of office because their states love guns. Love guns. Do you think everybody brings up the Second Amendment. What do you think George Washington, Sam Adams, Jefferson, Ben Franklin, what do you think they're thinking about right now? You think they thought this? There was no police. There was no state militia back in 1780 when they did the state Second Amendment. It's not the same thing. This is totally different today. I mean, it's ridiculous. You're going to bring up the Second Amendment where I have my right to have guns, and you're going to bring up something that was passed in 1780 and say that applies to today? That is absolutely absurd. And the other thing, Abbott, the governor, and again, I play it right down the middle. Cruz, that senator, and how about the representative of that community that were in West San Antonio and West Texas? They all voted no on gun control deals in March. They voted no on it. And then Adam yesterday gives me this big deal about how we're heartbroken. Well, you had a chance to do something about it, you did nothing. And where are they going on Friday, half of them? To an NAR convention in Houston, Texas, for crying out loud. Houston, Texas. It's absolutely absurd. America, shape up, wake up, and do something. I don't care what it is. And yes, there are a million reasons why we have all these 18-year-old kids who feel disconnected and feel like they got to go out there and blow up a supermarket, a school, a movie theater in Colorado with armor on. They're disconnected. But I can't look at every computer. I can't look at every social media post. I can't look at every Instagram thing to see what these kids are thinking about. But what I can do, I can limit their ability to obtain weapons. That I can do. And I understand the gun companies in this country don't want that, because they make a ton of money when they sell these assault weapons. So that company that stored Dick's Sporting Goods, wherever it was, in Texas, when they sold those two assault weapons to this kid a couple of weeks ago, you think they care? No, they don't. They don't care. They say they care, but they don't, because they do nothing about it. And this is, listen, I live 20 minutes from Sandy Hook. I was there 5 days later. That is an absolute disgrace that in 9 years we have done nothing. Kurt's right. I got issues with Kurt, with other issues, his China thing and everything. I could go on and on. But here he's 100% right. This does not happen in Europe, Japan, China. It does not have Israel. Name the country. It happens here. The United States of America. Because you politicians, in this case, most of them Republicans, and the president, go out there and do something. Let's go. It can't be that hard. You know, the other thing that I want to say, last thing, Washington Post had a great point today. One last thing.
No, go ahead.
You know who's going to get this solved? You actually need a Republican president, because we're so politicized in this country that the Republicans do not want to agree anything to a Democratic president says. So if you have a Republican president who is going to get that vote on the right, he does something, you can start to make a little movement here. And we almost did with the last president after Parkland, but he got sidetracked. What else is new? And he didn't do it. He got sidetracked. But this is getting to be much. We're starting off a sports show on this great network, and we're talking about a kid who got slaughtered, 18 people, and we're going to move on our very way now. And we're going to show up at that gun lobby thing in Houston on Friday. You should be all ashamed of yourselves. All ashamed. And I vote right down the middle. Don't call me some leftist nutcase. I go both ways. Sorry.
Don't be sorry. That was so.
Don't be sorry. Don't be sorry.
Well said. These children deserve their lives. They deserve to follow their dreams. And you're right. 212 students, 27 in schools. And again, these places should be sanctuaries. Everything you said was so spot on. And honestly, Stephen, I know you guys are grown men. It's unnerving. You almost feel scared to go anywhere at this point. Basic places.
Yeah, you do. I'll say this. You do, but you have to. You have to move forward. You don't move on. You move forward. But in the end, I brought up the election for a reason. Guess what? If people are not going to get, whether you're Democrat or Republican, if you're not going to get things done to prioritize the safety of this nation, you need to go. The fact is, you got an election coming up November 8th. Get all their behinds up out of there. All of them, if you have to. You can change. You can change some of this. The fact that they're not getting anything done is the most egregious part of it all. All to maintain their seats in power. Steve Kerr is absolutely positively on the money for that. They're not thinking about the American people on Capitol Hill. They're thinking about themselves. So we need to get people up there that's going to think about American citizens and not their seats.
Power becomes more important than human life.
In the nation's capital.
Yeah. Yeah. What does it profit the man to gain the world if only to lose their soul? So
yes.
We'll leave it there. We'll take a quick break. And again, just praying for all these victims of the 212 mass shootings and their families. This is First Take.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. 100 miles from that tragic shooting, a game was played. The Mavs avoiding the sweep and are attempting to become the first team in NBA history to overcome a 3-0 deficit to win a series, a feat 146 others have failed to accomplish. Dallas took a step in that direction with a 119-109 win in Tuesday's Game 4 at the American Airlines Center. Luka, keeping hope alive.
I still believe we can win, you know, so swept or not swept, at the end, if you lose, you lose. So it doesn't matter how many we win, but we have to go game by game. We're going to believe till the end.
All right, Stephen A., we know you're all in on those Warriors. Was the Game 4 performance a bit concerning for you, sir, that they weren't able to complete the sweep?
It's all concerning for me because I don't view the Dallas Mavericks as that big of a threat. No disrespect to them. Luka's a star. We know that. His supporting cast really shows up usually when they're in Dallas, not so much on the road, although there have been aberrations like their Game 7 performance in Phoenix. The fact of the matter is it's really been about Luka and Jalen Brunson as it pertains to consistency. Nobody else has been able to be relied upon on a consistent basis, not to mention the fact that they're a bit soft on the interior. They have no rim protector. They have no shot blocker. And because of that, that puts them in a very vulnerable state. So whatever I see the Golden State Warriors do against them is of minimal importance to me. What I pay attention to is Golden State's ability to make shots. I know what marksmen they possess. And I'm looking at it from that perspective. And I'm saying, are you going to make shots? Because this is not the litmus test. The Dallas Mavericks are not the Boston Celtics, and they are not the Miami Heat defensively. Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics have athletes. They have individuals on the interior who are rim protectors. And as a result of that, they can make things very, very difficult for you, especially the Boston Celtics, with a healthy Robert Williams and a healthy Al Horford. So I look at it from that standpoint, and that's what has me worried about the Warriors. When you're down by 55 to Memphis and you lose two games in a row to them, when you were supposed to close out the Dallas Mavericks, I don't mind that you lose. I mind the fact that you were down by 29 points. Those are the kind of things that concern me. And on the side, Doggy, last but not least, I feel compelled to mention this. Let me tell you what I disagree with Steve Kerr about. I would not have reinserted Steph Curry into that game last night, and ultimately Andrew Wiggins thereafter and Klay Thompson. Those reserves were in the game with about 10 minutes left. They were down about 29 points or so. Steve Kerr had basically brought the guys on the bench and essentially conceded, this is not the game that we're going to win. We're going to go back to Golden State and win Game 5. And Jordan Poole, with Kuminga, with Moody, you had others in the game with him as well. They came off the bench and closed it to within 8 with just under 4 minutes left. I would have left those dudes in there. And I would have rode that wave. And I would have said, hey, now it's his discretion. He's one of the great coaches we've ever seen. Okay, I'm just, it's all hindsight 2020. But I'm just telling you, for me, the way they were rolling and the difficulty the Dallas Mavericks were having in guarding them, I would have left those guys in that game. I'm just concerned about these huge deficits that they've had in the last two rounds of the playoffs, knowing what's waiting for them in the NBA Finals.
I agree with you 100% on bringing Kerr back in a game. I went to go look. You saw it. I did not. You know, these 29-point blowouts in these world playoff games, that's a different topic. Can we have a halfway decent game, please? Can we have a ball game with the 5 minutes to go? It's 96-96. I mean, you all hang in there. I mean, my goodness gracious. And these games, the best game so far we've seen in this series was Game 2 when Dallas played very well, could have won, and Golden State pulled away in the fourth quarter. I understand your point. I wouldn't have put put Curry back in the game either, but a quick dunk by Doncic. I looked at the play-by-play sheet. That's how I know. Off a Maverick timeout, quickly got that lead back to 10. So I don't know if that's that big a deal. You are 1,000% right, but I'm not going to make too big a deal about that. I also don't want to make too big a deal about Golden State losing. They haven't lost a home game yet in this postseason. They won't have home court against Miami, so they're going to have to win a road game there. But they didn't have home court against Memphis, and they figured out a way to win a game in Memphis. They are going to be very difficult to beat. I don't like getting killed by 29 points, but let's give Dallas some credit. You know, Doncic is a wonderful player. I think he's a top 3-4 player in the league. That's how good I think he is. He is, and they made some shots. They shoot a million threes. The ball went in last night. It did not go in in game one and in game three. The ball went in last night. I'm not going to make too big a deal about it. I'd be shocked if Dallas won game five, and maybe they'd be competitive, but I'd be shocked. You know, Golden State's very good at home in these fourth quarters. Yeah. They come from behind a lot in these fourth quarters. They did it to knock out Memphis. They did it in game two in this series. They did it a couple times against Denver. They are great at bouncing back because they got so much offense. The crowd's great and everything else. So I don't want to make too big a deal about it. Your point is 100% right. That is a bad look. You're down by 29 points. And I would have kept Kerr on the bench, too. But I think in the big picture, all this is nice talk for us on Wednesday. By next Wednesday, they'll be in the final. You and I won't discuss it. They'll win game five. Give Dallas credit, but they'll win game five.
I think you're wrong there. I think you're wrong there. I think we will discuss it because we're seeing vulnerabilities from them in from a defensive standpoint. Their inability to stop the opposing offenses, their inability to make sure they avoid being down by 20 or 30 points. These are not things you can afford to do, say, if you end up going against the Boston Celtics, which I still believe will end up winning this series against Miami in seven games. These are the kind of things that you got to watch out for. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, they're an offensive team, though, Stevie. If they score, they're going to win. You got to outscore Golden State. I mean, they have so much firepower. You got to outscore them. They're going to have home court against the Celtics. We can't love what we see with the Celtics. They're very erratic, too. Tatum has a great game, then he stinks. They're erratic, too, and I don't even know if they're going to get by this series. I think they're going to be okay. I know you're higher on them than I am, so I can't pick them because I can't be the same as you. But they'll be okay in that NBA final.
Stephen A., let me ask this. Do you think it would have been a bad look for Luka had he gotten swept?
No, I don't. Not in this particular series because he showed up. You know, I mean, the fact of the matter is that the one thing, if that one Dallas goes home, because I believe they will, nobody's going to look at Luka and what he didn't do because he's been spectacular in these playoffs. And to be as young as he is and as gifted as he is and to have the minimal amount of help that he has and still able to do what he's doing, the pressure's going to be on Nico Harrison, Mark Cuban, and Jason Kidd to get him the assistance that he needs to supplement what he brings to the table. That's going to be the mentality of the Dallas Mavericks and the Dallas Maverick fans everywhere. Nobody is questioning the greatness of Luka Doncic. All you're doing about Luka is looking at him and saying, okay, the time has arrived to take it to another level. Not your game, but your conditioning. So you're better defensively. That's what they're looking at with Luka Doncic. But as an offensive talent, there's no question about it. He's one of the top players in the league right now already, and he's sensational, and he shows up in big moments. He does not fold or wilt beneath the pressure, and that's what you look for before you classify guys as great.
100%. He's averaged 40 points a game in these elimination games, and here's what you need to know about Doncic.
Yeah.
First half against Phoenix in game seven, all right, 27 points. Took the heart out of the Suns. Chris Paul, we'll have fun with JJ later, one of the all-time greats, 1 point. He's got nothing to prove. Nothing.
Fair enough. We'll leave it there. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV
is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Major League Baseball has suspended the Yankees' Josh Donaldson for one game. The suspension and undisclosed fine stems from Donaldson's Jackie remarks to Tim Anderson of the White Sox during Saturday's game. MLB said the discipline also was warranted because what Donaldson said helped incite a benches-clearing brawl. Donaldson will be ineligible to play pending the results of his appeal. Now, Donaldson plans to appeal and explain the context that he was referring to when Anderson called himself Jackie Robinson in a 2019 interview. So, Stephen A., you said Anderson needs to respond to that sentiment on yesterday's show, and he finally did. Let's take a listen to that.
He did say that, man, and I told him, we don't have to talk again. I won't speak to you, won't speak to me, if that's how you want to refer to me. And, I know he knew exactly what he was doing, because I already told him.
So has he or anyone from the Yankees reached out to you since then?
No. But I'm not looking for no friendship, no relationship, from that behalf, but I'm going to continue to, keep playing hard and keep, being a great teammate and, keep being the best version of myself I can be.
All right. Stephen A., you said after Anderson went in front of the microphone, you wanted to hear from Donaldson, his response, and now we just heard that. Did that suffice for you? How are you viewing him now?
Absolutely suffices. That's what I was waiting for. That's what I was employing Doug Glanville and everybody else to pay attention to. Doggy, just so you know what my position was, my initial response to the suspension that came down against Josh Donaldson, I was against it. And the reason that I was against it was because Josh Donaldson, after this whole brouhaha, really, really came about, Josh Donaldson did not issue a tweet or a statement, came right out in front of the reporters and said, let me give you the background involving me and Tim Anderson, and explain that based off of the Sports Illustrated article, he had been teasing and messing with Tim Anderson since 2019, and they seem to have a good relationship, and Tim was totally fine with it. Then he said, now, if something has changed in our relationship, I didn't know, but I had no knowledge whatsoever that this was remotely offensive. I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember the exact words that he articulated, but that was pretty much about it. The point that I was making is he made that assertion. You can't just sit up there on a Sunday afternoon and have a problem with Josh Donaldson now when you didn't have a problem with him the three previous years like he said you did not, and then think that he should be suspended or he should be excoriated in the eyes of the public. That's unfair to Josh Donaldson. He's getting screwed if you're just going to leave it like that. So we needed to hear from Tim Anderson to see if that is his interpretation of what his relationship with Josh Donaldson has been all about. Well, now he has answered that question. He said that's not true. He said when he first did it, I told him, don't ever talk to me if that's how you're going to address me. So now, if that is true, that explains why the catcher got in Josh Donaldson's face. It explains why Tony La Russa considered it a racist incident. It explains why Tim Anderson was put off and had a problem with Josh Donaldson. And it also incriminates Josh Donaldson because you knew that he didn't like that, but you still did that. That's why Aaron Boone spoke out against Josh Donaldson. It's why Aaron Judge spoke out against against Josh Donaldson, because evidently they were aware of what Tim Anderson's feelings were and what Tony La Russa and others for the White Sox had expressed. So now that changes everything. My point about Major League Baseball is if it's just based on Josh Donaldson's interpretation and you're just going to deduce that calling him Jackie is inappropriate and uncalled for and disrespectful, right? That doesn't warrant a suspension. And that's where I'm coming from with it. But now that Tim Anderson has articulated and clarified everything, then that means, Josh Donaldson, you meant that in a way that you knew that Tim Anderson would be offended by. I still don't know if it warrants a suspension, because it's not like it used the N-word or anything like that, okay? So baseball ingratiating itself into it like that, I'm not sure that's wise. I think that opens a Pandora box. There are plenty of people that things that are disrespectful to them, things that are done to antagonize them, it happens, and that doesn't warrant a suspension. I don't know if this does either, but I will say Josh Donaldson looks very, very bad today based on what Tim Anderson explained, because Tim Anderson said, hey, I never liked it. He knew it offended me, and he still did it anyway. That is not good.
100%, Stevie, we have to get into an argument here because we're loving each other too much today. You are 1,000% correct. Donaldson's a clown. Let's call it like we see it. He gave Giolito a lot of grief a couple years ago with the sticky stuff. He killed Gerrit Cole. He likes to get under people's skin. He was on the Twins. Why would a Twin and a White Sox be buddies? I buy what Anderson said. I don't think they were ever friendly. You made 100% right on the judge who said something that night. It was disrespectful, which it was. Boone, who didn't want to say anything the first day because he doesn't want to bury his player. That's why I don't pay too much attention to what La Russa says, because he always protects his players. Boone didn't want to bury his player, but even the next day with the doubleheader on Sunday, he said, you know what, he shouldn't have gone there. I'm going to let MLB interpret the racial angle of this. I think they handled it properly. I think one game suffices. He's on COVID anyway. He can appeal. I think the one game sets the right tempo. I think MLB handled it properly. Here's the thing, most importantly. When you use Jackie Robinson's name, mm-hmm. who is the linchpin of the sport and one of the most important figures we've had in the 20th century, if you use him in a disparaging way towards anybody else, another player, African-American player who Robinson inspired him and he wants to inspire other young African-American players to play like Jackie did, when you use that in a negative way, you deserve a suspension.
Absolutely. Okay?
Jackie mm-hmm. Robinson's name, Jack Robinson, no matter how you say it, should never be used in any negative connotation in a sport. So, and Donaldson, listen, should he have gotten 20 games? No. I'll let MLB or the Yankees interpret racial intent. I don't think probably it was, but he was looking to be a pain in the neck, and he knew he was going to be annoying. And I'm down on Donaldson.
Well,
I think the Yankees are down on Donaldson. They can't do anything about it. He's getting paid a fortune. But, I mean, listen, Donaldson's wrong, and he's a clown. Let's call it like we see it.
Let me say this. I can't call it like I see it in terms of that, Doggy, because I don't know. You know baseball. You cover these guys. You probably talk to them. I don't know. I've never met him. I know nothing about him. I know nothing about his history other than the two incidences that you brought up. I know nothing about him. What I will say is this, though. When you talk about, again, he was alluding to an article in Sports Illustrated where Tim Anderson, paying homage to Jackie Robinson, talked about wanting to be the next Jackie Robinson. I'm paraphrasing here. Again, so the negativity wasn't towards Jackie Robinson. It was towards Tim Anderson thinking he could be Jackie Robinson, according to Josh Donaldson. In the end, I think he was trying to egg him on. He was trying to rattle him. He was trying to get under his skin and get under his nerves or whatever. So you're absolutely right about what you say about Josh Donaldson. The only thing that I would caution is that Major League Baseball has now made a decision by invoking itself and implementing itself into the proceedings. You have now labeled Josh Donaldson, essentially, with the R word. You've labeled him a racist in some people's eyes with this one game suspension, because it will be synonymous with him for years
comment.
To come.
He used racist comments. So you could put it that way, Stephen A., that we're not saying he's a racist, but he used racist commentary.
No,
that's
really
we're
not saying
LaRussa said.
We're not saying it. I'm saying to you how it's going to be interpreted by people who are not on First Take or other television shows. You're going to sit up there and look at the suspension, and you've labeled this guy that. And by doing that, that's fine. But it would have been better if the Yankees had suspended him, or if Tim Anderson had went nuclear on him and called him out. For baseball to do it, okay, so what about when you don't do it next time? We're going to sit back and say, why? Why didn't you do something then? You did this to Josh Donaldson. What you going to do when this guy says something? What you going to do when that guy says something? Baseball did something dangerous, because now we're going to look to them to be the quote-unquote racial police to some degree. Yeah. Are they up to it? I don't know if Major League Baseball is.
Yeah. Well, great to have you on this. I know how closely you follow this sport. And we had an excellent discussion yesterday with Doug Glanville. I implore everyone to check that out. That's available on ESPN.com. And I'll just say this to your sentiment about Jackie Robinson, the icon, the legend. First Take is going to broadcast live July 26th from the Jackie Robinson Museum, the unveiling in New York City. And God willing, we'll have a live audience for the first time in a couple years. And there's a reason why we're choosing that venue. Because this man's a pioneer, and you're right, what you said should never be associated with any type of criticism.
Absolutely not, and that's the problem. And that's the problem I have with it. And the Yankees, excuse me, Stevie,
held to the highest standard.
The Yankees are going to hold their nose with Donaldson because he's a player on their team, and they need him. So the Yankees don't like what Donaldson said, but they got to hold their nose. They're going to, quote unquote, let MLB do the damage, do all the dirty work, and they're put up with it. That's what the Yankees have to do.
Yeah. All right. We'll leave it there.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.